This is the Real Footy Podcast. We have only one round in and it might be all we get. The season has been put on hold. We'll be discussing the implications of that momentous decision.
After a meeting with the AFL Commission, the AFL has moved to immediately suspend the 2020 Toyota AFL Premiership season. The conclusion of this weekend's matches. We'll also conclude the NAB AFL women's season as a result of the continuing spread of the COVID-19 virus. Today's match in Perth between the West Coast Eagles and Melbourne will be the final match before the AFL season goes into a temporary halt. Games will be suspended until May 31, 2020. We'll review the situation by the end of April to determine whether a further suspension period would be required.
Hello and welcome. My name is Michael Gleeson, and with me today is Chief Football Writer Jake Nile to discuss the most significant day and weekend in the game's history. Welcome, Jake.
Thanks, Gleese. It's something that we thought would happen at some stage, that there would be a shutdown, but it happened. The round hadn't even been completed before the AFL Commission pulled the pin. And it's what's amazing is that we always thought it would be a positive test of the coronavirus, but it was really the shutdown of the society that the AFL had to fall in line with.
Yeah, well, the simple first question, Jake, was it the right decision? Or was it the only decision? Yeah.
Well, rugby league's going on. I think it was the right decision. I thought it was the right decision to play on. I think it was the right decision. There was really no choice. The logistics got to a point where you would have been doing... You wouldn't have gone for long, even if you could have gone another round. I suppose there would have been a possibility of playing home derbies, that you keep everyone, you redo the draw and you play in WA, because WA had been shut down. You play Fremantle, West Coast, you play Port Adelaide and Adelaide in round two. I think that's the only way you could have done it, given the borders. Those borders are being shut.
Well, yeah, and there was a suggestion. Could you have even flown the two Adelaide teams to Perth and played sort of a series of games there where they all played like a round robin over a period, and similarly round robins here in Melbourne? I noticed that on Monday morning, Port Adelaide put their players that had been interstate into quarantine, returning from the Gold Coast. So there'll be, I think most players are basically now being put in quarantine, but having travelled, they're all now self-isolating. The ramifications will be profound, and they will continue to ripple through the football community. But as it stands now, what's the immediate response, Jake?
The first thing we should say is that it's shut down till May 31, and I don't think that we will see footy for, at my guess is at least a month after that, and it's distinctly possible. If you said to me, are we going to see footy again this year? I'd say that's 50-50, no better than 50-50. I'm not optimistic about that because of the situation that the Prime Minister and the government have outlined.
Yeah, I think that that's right. And I think that particularly that May 31, so basically June before football would be due to start, it was telling that at the weekend, the news reports were that we were to brace for the peak of this crisis to be in that June period. So it's inconceivable to me that you would be returning to play anywhere near that peak. So you're talking at least July for me, if not August. The only thing that I think, Jake, and I agree with you, that it's very much in doubt as to whether they will return. The idea that you could play through to December, and I know there's an issue with grounds, but there's no issue with crowds because I can't imagine crowds will be back at games anyway. So that just means you need venues, regardless of whether they are our traditional and existing venues. You could have players coming back, you know, with this desire to get as many games in as we can to satisfy the broadcast rights that they've signed to. If they can get as many games in, well, it's not inconceivable that they come back and play many games in short periods, almost nightly football, in that through October period, November period, and be playing games in even regional areas if they can't get access to these bigger grounds. It's still hypothetical, but we're sort of projecting on what could happen, and I could envisage that happening. The game is in such a financial crisis that the ability to try to gouge back some of that $400 million this year from the broadcast or make sure or quarantine it, preserve it, is going to be a really overriding consideration for the league.
Well, yeah, and I think that it's possible we're already going to have a very compromised premiership if there is a premiership this year, which there may not be. There would come a point where it could end up like the AFLW, where you don't have a result. Even if you do get football, you might come back and get through 11 games or 7 games or 10 games or whatever the number is, and then you have another outbreak.
Yeah.
Coronavirus doesn't care about the AFL season. It doesn't care about the pub industry. It doesn't care about anything. So that virus, if it comes back, can close things down very quickly. The other thing we have to seriously consider is that we don't want to be too depressing here for the listeners, but we could be looking at compromises of the 2021 season that are significant. That is another distinct possibility.
That's absolutely accurate, because I also think that, you know, we're looking at the second tier competitions. They're not playing. No VFL. You're not going to have rep teams playing. There's no reason to think that, as it stands now, that you would end up with even an under-18s competition. How do you hold a national draft at the end of the year, this year, if there's no under-18 competition for them to compete in? Do you have a draft at all? Is it a year where you just, next year's draft is a bumper draft that they go through another season?
Well, it could. I even wondered, I mean, I've got a daughter doing year 12. I've wondered about whether year 12 goes ahead as normal and whether people do VCE or the equivalent in another state. So the draft is kind of tied to that. It's a similar sort of thing for those people involved. It's their big assessment year as a footballer. Does that get put on hold because people can't do it? I think school's easier to do. You can do it remotely. You can't play football without being out on a field. So there's so many questions and we won't be able to answer them. But the first point of business for the AFL and the clubs will be survival. They have contractual obligations. As we speak, the AFL have already been to the National Australia Bank, their banker. They've had discussions about getting a line of credit. And that line of credit, which I think will exceed, I think it will be in excess of $350 million. It could be as high as $600 million. Their figures, just they're a bit speculative. They're not completely, it's unclear what that will be. But it will be a lot of money that they will need, and they will underwrite the clubs. And that's from the West Coast Eagles, who are the most powerful club in the competition, to the Gold Coast Suns, who are probably the weakest.
Yeah, and I think part of the rationale for that isn't just to make sure they've got liquidity, but also that they're not trading while insolvent, that they can actually satisfy the legal requirements of what they have behind them in order to keep trading. Interesting. Monday morning, immediate reaction, the Gold Coast stood down basically all of their football department, even told them to explore job opportunities where they could. They're not expecting things return, obviously, in the short term. Clubs have sent their interstate players home for this quarantining period. It will be interesting to see how clubs manage their players and how players manage themselves through this period as well. We've got the idea, players can't train together. They can't train as a group. We're not sure what size group could potentially train together or if it is all self-training. So there will also be an element of detraining through this whole period as well, where it's inconceivable that a player can keep up that they could keep up the level of fitness required without group training on the eve of coming back. I suppose that's what you were saying too, Jake, that even if they came back in June, which is unlikely, you don't see that happening before July, there is a period where they're going to have to be able to train together before resuming playing.
Yeah, I don't think it won't be a full pre-season. They're going to have to stay fit. Do you think footy was naive? I felt that they should play on, and at the time when that decision was made last week, I felt that was an okay call. I supported it. Rugby league is playing on. They've taken a different view to the AFL. That's going to be a fascinating comparison for the whole of the Australian public to look at the difference between those codes and why one is playing on and one isn't. Was footy naive to sort of think that this was they could be almost in defiance of what was happening everywhere else?
If football was naive, then so was the government. They were acting on health and government advice, which was there was no greater risk from it. Now, you could say that the government or that health advice should have been more severe earlier. I'm not a health expert. We write footy. I don't know. They worked on the best advice that they had. And they also had the strong encouragement of the government to play. And I get that. And I agree. I was in the same position. We spoke at it last week. I thought it was good that they were playing. There was that strong sense of trying to establish in what has been a really just shit year, to be honest, right from bushfires and climate change wiping people out to now we've got this happening, that there was an idea that give people some sense of normalcy. And yet what it actually ended up projecting to me over the weekend, when you've got empty stands and empty food shelves in supermarkets, that it was projecting the wrong image. And you had competing interests as you're trying to press a message to the community of stay home and protect yourself, and yet sit home and clap for a goal. It just became
I drew a comparison with the Hunger Games, that I thought there was an element, as it came across, that they were there for our, these athletes were there for our sort of entertainment while we're detained at home in a semi-totalitarian sort of state. That's how it felt. A little bit as I saw the first couple of games, but you know, it'll be incredible to see what footy's like when we come back. If it does come back this year, the form it will be, it's going to be seriously weird.
We've already spoken. You wrote last week about the coaches taking a pay cut. Pete and I wrote at the weekend about football to soft caps. Already we're talking about 30% cut to them. That was for this year. So people in contract still just turn around and saying, no, that's got to go. I think that those numbers might even be conservative. I think that it could be bigger than that, higher than that. And I think there's a strong sense that the CBA may also have to be just basically redrawn. If the game loses so much money, its capacity to honour those contracts is utterly undermined. I can't see that you can sustain all of the existing contracts if the revenue disappears out of the game to the extent that it has. What do you think?
No, that's right. I mean, everything is negotiable in this world. And if you can't pay the bills, then those agreements aren't really that binding. And it's also, Gleese, it's exposed a weakness in the competition, that there's so many clubs that are, there isn't really the sort of financial independence that you would see in other global competitions. The head central body of the AFL is very much the parent handing out pocket money to most of the kids in the family. And there's 18 kids, and those 18 kids, some are much more able than others to look after themselves. But it's probably more than half. I'd be fascinated how many clubs could actually survive without the AFL. There would be very few. We might be talking as few as 3 or 4.
Yeah, I suppose it could be that. There's the obvious ones, but the vast bulk of the competition will go. I know Lee Matthews made a comment at the weekend. He was talking about when he was in 1986, when he was at Collingwood, and they basically had exactly the same situation where they were faced with trading with insolvent, went to the players and coaches, said, right, at least, I think it was a 20% cut. They were in contract. If you didn't want to take it, you could go. That was when Mike Richardson and Jeff Raines did go. That was a different scenario because it was one club. They were able, if you know, the club was breaching their contract with the players, so the players said, well, we're out. In this scenario, if it's across the board, you're sort of saying, well, there is nowhere else for the players to go if that is imposed upon them. And no one's saying that the players would be resisting this given what's going on. But there is so much. I know there's been talk of cutting list sizes next year. I think these are things that are going to be worked out in the medium term.
Caro made a good point in a column on Saturday, which I thought was excellent, was that the game will never be the same, that there's going to be changes made as a result of this hiatus and this financial meltdown. It's, you know, in America, they're talking about, you know, 30% unemployment, 25-30% unemployment. We could have a mini depression. Again, hopefully it won't be that drastic, and hopefully it will be as brief.
Bloody hell, if it gets to 30% depression, 30% unemployment, that's not a mini depression. The men's game wasn't the only one shut down. The women's game was stopped immediately. There will be no final. There will be no premier. That competition is over. Was that the right decision as well, do you think? Or do you think they should have left it open?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure on that. I felt that there was a possibility they could have declared a premier, except that you've got the problem of conferences, Gleese. So I suppose they had no choice in that sense, that if everyone had played in the same sort of ladder, you could have declared Fremantle, who were unbeaten, the Premier. That would have been a not unreasonable position, but I suppose...
Yeah, they hadn't played each other, though, had they? So it was in different conferences, it did make it difficult. The other thing is, as it was raised, that, well, I think the women are contracted until March, end of March. Likewise, the men are contracted till the end of October, but that is on a 12-month contract. I think the women are on shorter-term contracts that finish in that period. So there was a contractual issue of coming back later in the year if the game can be, you know, if the season can be returned. But, yeah, I'm not quite sure where they go with that too. Do they award a best and fairest?
Yeah, I think they should. I think they should have the Brownlow equivalent. I think they should go ahead with that. I think it's compromised, but there was a full season played up to the finals. So I would say that should they could preclude the finals and just do it on the home and away season, obviously.
Well, we're going to break there. We have to hit the phones. Things are unfolding as we speak at lunchtime on Monday. Come back to us, though. Keep an eye on realfooty.com.au for all the updates, and we will speak to you again soon.